The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything you'd like to talk about, as long as it's about your health. You know, this is the opportunity. No drugs, no surgery. What can you do without all that stuff that you keep putting into your body that's making things worse? Give me a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope you had a great few days. And those of you who are on the way back to the Washington metropolitan area, visiting family and friends outside the district, be safe, be careful. Don't, you know, you're going to get here one way or the other, so don't push, you know, the gas pedal, okay? And watch out for everybody else around you. That's when, you know, things happen. So be careful and listen to me on the way back. We'll pique your interest. Whatever questions you have, call us, and we have a program for you today, one that affects about a half of all the male population in this country and about 25% of all women. So there's a disparity there. It's 2-for-1, but it's still 50% of all men and 25% of all women. What are we talking about? We're talking about sleep apnea, you know, that problem that you stop breathing at nighttime, and we hear all the advertisings that are going on television and radio and said, you know, the wife wants you to go see somebody simply because of the fact she doesn't want the guy to die. Well, dying is one of the things that can happen, but there's also a lot of other things that happen. Like, you can lose your mind. You can't think. Your energy goes away. Your functional capacity begins to diminish. You wonder why you wake up so tired, even though that you've been asleep all night long. You think. And in studio, somebody to go through the process with me one step at a time, somebody who I have tremendous amount of respect for and has been, you know, on the program before, Dr. Michael Chung. Michael, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Rozelle, for having me on your show. It's my honor.
It's always fun, my friend. It's, you know, you're a very, very bright guy. You have tremendous skill sets as a dentist. Michael's a dentist, specializes in neuromuscular dysfunction and disorders. He's an LVI, Las Vegas Institute, top-notch master. He's a guy who, you know, really understands this whole idea, science of the vertical dimension of the temporomandibular joint, you know, where you open and close your mouth, but also how it affects all these things. And we're talking about sleep apnea conditions right now. Dr. Michael, listen, let's begin to walk through this piece by piece. And first of all, what is a sleep apnea condition relative to what you see in your field? I mean, we talked about the symptoms, but, you know, what, how does it really portray itself?
Well, I mean, a lot of times the person who's suffering with sleep apnea would not even know that they have the condition unless they know that, like you said earlier, that they're tired the following day. They don't feel like they slept even though they slept. Usually their spouse or someone will tell them that they've been snoring loudly or have had moments of, you know, coughing or not breathing on a regular rhythm. So that's how they usually find out. But there are other things to look for, such as over-closed bite, large tongue, retreated jaw. Those are things that you can also predispose them. Also, overweight. Obesity is another contributing factor. So those are what I see very typically, but it can actually affect even children, all ages. Most often is male, over 40 years old, but it can even happen at young age of 2 to 3 years old. If a child has large tonsils, adenoids, anything that can disrupt the flow of air, it can cause some form of sleep apnea. And that can obviously affect child's learning abilities when they're young, not getting enough oxygen into their brain.
You know, one of the things that, and people have to understand the tissues that are involved. You know, we have this little bell at the end of our, in the back of our throat, hanging off the soft tissue, and it's called the uvula. And that's an area that we're really looking at and focusing on relative to the obstruction of the airway, because the throat is called the fascial pillars, if you will. And all it is a support mechanism where your tonsils are all the way back on either side, kind of up behind your back teeth. Your adenoids are in there as well. And as Dr. Michael said, these things can be irritated because kids at early ages become allergic to all kinds of stuff, particularly Correct. Dairy and wheat and sugars. And, you know, it's funny, Dr. Mike, you know, we tell parents, get them off this junk. You know, get them off the dairy, get them off the sugar, get them off the wheat. And suddenly when the ones that adhere to our admonishment do that, all of a sudden things begin to clear up. But it's more than that. And, you know, you're talking obstruction. Let's talk about kids just for a second. Then we'll get into the adult forms of the stuff. Children's heads grow at different rates. And so they have these tonsils that are sitting in there. And sometimes, you know, tonsils are doing their job. They're a lymphatic filtering system. And they do get larger. They do get swollen sometimes. And is it because the cranial plates, the skull itself, is not expanding fast enough to accommodate? Is that part of the problem?
You know, I'm not sure which is which. That would be more your expertise. But I do know that any form of airway obstruction when they're young is going to cause their upper jaw to not grow properly. The upper jaw, the maxilla, needs proper stimulation with nasal breathing. They need to be able to breathe through their nose. Their mouth needs to be closed, and their tongue, which is a very strong muscle, needs to be on their palate. And that stimulation of the tongue on the palate is what helps the jaw grow properly of the upper jaw, and that in return allows the lower jaw to grow properly. And that gives the patient plenty of airway as they're growing. Now, if for some reason through allergies or enlarged tonsils or adenoids, the child cannot breathe through their nose, now they're going to start breathing through their mouth. Now, the tongue is in the wrong position. It's not going to stimulate the upper jaw. So you're going to have the narrowing and high vaulted palate, which causes the lower jaw to retrude, because you have to be able to bite with the upper jaw, so everything gets narrowed, and that will actually make the airway everything narrower as well, because everything is retruded.
So when you see a child, or you see an adult with a vaulted upper palate, and it's not just slightly domed as it should be with with the teeth sitting in proper position, that's an indication to you from a neuromuscular point of view that this person or this child has had breathing problems that have been consistent for a long period of time.
Absolutely. It's almost always an airway issue. Your body knows the airway is the most important thing, and to get oxygen, it will do anything and everything possible to do that. So what's going to suffer is usually the ear occlusion, the maxilla, the growth. So they have to clear out the airway. That's the first thing they need to do. If a child is suffering with any kind of snoring, no child should be snoring ever. That is definitely a disruption of some form of indication that they may have sleep apnea. They need to see an ENT, have them checked out for their airway, especially the tonsils and adenoids, and give them plenty of space. And then after that, or consistently at the same time, you need to check with an allergist, possibly someone that can help them find out what they're allergic to so they can get rid of all the allergens. So they need to have clear airway, otherwise they'll never develop the proper upper and jaw alignment.
Just as an addendum, you know, we see those children on a regular basis. They come in, and as I said earlier and suggested, that it may be an allergy reaction pattern. And when you do have these allergies, particularly dairy and wheat, it causes inflammation. It causes an inflammatory reaction.
Absolutely.
and thickening and swelling of the tissues, not only the tonsils and the lymph tissue, but the
Yes.
throat itself. So you have that. And then you add injury to that because, you know, taking a child, the way they're delivered in Western society, fortunately, we're seeing a trend towards moving away from this. But with forceps delivery or breached patterns where the child's head comes out like a cone, that whole neurological network at the base of the brain is now irritated, and the neurology can't operate properly. And the nerves that go to the throat and go to the tonsil area and so forth come from that lower portion of the brainstem. And until that cranial plate is rounded and molded properly, you don't get the signal. Mike, let's talk a little bit about the different types of sleep apnea conditions. I know there's a couple major ones.
Yeah, the most common is obstructive sleep apnea, where there's some form of obstruction. And it's usually the soft tissues in the back of your throat that are closing or is narrowed. That could be due to fatty tissues from obesity to swollen glands, which makes it even worse when you lay down, because when you lay down to go to sleep, the gravity itself will pull the tissues down even tighter, and that's when you can actually have obstructive sleep apnea. The other is very uncommon, but it can happen, is central sleep apnea, and that's when your brain fails to signal properly for you to breathe on a regular rhythm.
That has to do a lot with the diaphragm, that big muscle that cuts you in half, and there's a lot of information that's out there currently talking about how the diaphragm is not only divides the body in half from, you know, the heart, the lungs, and the intestinal tract, but this diaphragm, as we've said in our business for a long time, pumps the lungs, pumps the heart, also helps cause negative pressure within the sinus cavities and so forth. If the diaphragm's not working, there's a problem. And then to add credence to what you said earlier, the upper portion of the neck, the second and third nerves that come off the neck form a nerve that go to the diaphragm called the phrenic nerve, and then you have a cranial nerve called the vagus nerve. They both go down and they allow that diaphragm to work properly. When there's any kind of injury, going back to a child or a car accident or a fall or a blow, and the next thing I'm going to throw out there to you is, even when we've seen some bad dental applications, meaning that they've messed up that temporomandibular joint, now causes spasm in the neck, now causes these nerves to misfire. We see that. So my guess is that it may be a little bit more prevalent than what we first thought.
Yes, exactly. Because of sleep apnea or some form of iatrogenic causes by another dentist, all these things can contribute to malocclusion. And obviously, as you know, the way your upper and lower jaw comes together with the dental occlusion is key to that vertical development and to the alignment of your C1 and C2 and so on. And it will affect your whole body all the way down. So it is very, very crucial, even at young age, that they have proper occlusion that's in balance with their TMJ joints, and to have healthy muscles and that are not, you know, overcompensating for a bad bite.
In our business, it's important that everything is balanced structurally from, you know, the bottom to the top, to the top to the bottom. And you know, the joint spaces, the hips, the sacroiliacs, the temporomandibular joints. If you put somebody on a treadmill and you watch them and then you hooked up a thermistor and watched it on a graph, you'd see that they fire together. So that temporomandibular joint is key. And a lot of finger pointing now going to sleep apnea conditions and the position of the TMJ relative to even chronic pain patterns like fibromyalgia. It's amazing the things that we've known and now we're seeing actually being documented and very well justified. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. In studio, Dr. Michael Chung, the head of Soft Touch Dental in Oakton, Virginia. Have a lot of respect for this man. We're going to be talking about sleep apnea. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Yep, I'm in studio. It's a weekend after Thanksgiving, just so you know who we are, where we are, and that we're actually present in form. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. We have a very interesting program conversation going today, and it's on one that way too many people suffer from, and that's why you're seeing all the advertising out there and, you know, the scare tactics. You know, you heard the one about the woman's out there and she says, you know, the guy's snoring and he stops breathing and, you know, she says to him, you know, you got to go see whoever, whoever. And he says, you know, is it that important to you that I, you know, that X, Y, and Z, whatever. And he says, no, it's that important that you, you know, you live. Well, that's not far from the truth. As our guest today, Dr. Michael Chung, who's an expert in this whole process. You know, when you're good at what you do, you get to put your trademark on it. And Michael, you're one of these guys. You have every experience and expertise when it comes to not only TMJ, temporomandibular joint dysfunction, but also the sleep apnea condition, because in many cases they're related. So what I want to get into, I mean, we talked about how bad this stuff is and that it can kill you and you can, you know, your memory goes and your heart can be problematic. It also can increase your risk of diabetes. It can increase your risk of certain tumors getting bigger in your body. And if it's cancer, it can spread it. And it's because it causes an acidic condition because you're not getting rid of your carbon dioxide in your body and that starts ramping up. So you got problems across the board. So what we need to do is take people through the process, if you will, of subtle breakdown. From the time that you become suspicious, and I know I'm throwing something at you right now, but from the time you become suspicious, what does that look like to the time you see, I know this patient's got a problem and we got to do something about it?
Well, in my field, I can actually see lots of clinical deterioration of their dentition, or I may see dry mouth, you know, I may see darkening around their eyes from not getting enough sleep. They will usually tell me that they've recently been diagnosed with hypertension. There are a lot of signs of that nature that I look for. But the patients will usually not notice anything at all that there's something going on, except they think it's just part of aging. And, I'm not thinking as clearly as I used to, and so on and so on and so on. But it really, if there's any suspicion of sleep apnea, snoring, anything that disturbs the airflow, really, it's so easy to be checked out these days that it's really, really worth looking into, because it can seriously, adversely affect your life.
You know, if we had the time, we can get into a lot of the things that disrupt the oral cavity. Everything from, in my business, is something called neurological tooth. So we know that every tooth in the body has a organ system and has a structural component that relates to it. But that's a horse of a different color. And I'm actually going to teach a class on that for all the dentists in the Washington area within the next few months. And I'll let you know about that, Mike.
Wow.
There's that. There's the fact that, you know, nutrition has a huge play. You go back into, there's a doctor by the name of Dr. Thomas Ballantyne. He's a medical physician that published pictures of people who were in one part of the world that came to the Western civilization, and it was a look at their dental arches. And there's an organization called the Weston Price Foundation that has taken thousands of these pictures. So we see what happens. You know, it's my family's Sicilian. You know, your family's background heritage is from Korea. When we leave those natural aspects of our culture, meaning dietary patterns and so forth, we see shifts, we see changes, we see deterioration in structure. So we know those things exist. But let's get into the whole thought process of, you know that it's there, you know it's got to be fixed. Let me ask you straight up. Instead of a sleep apneic mask, why dental appliance, and what are the dental appliances? And let's kind of walk through that for our listeners.
Sure. There's basically two forms of treatment as of now. It would be either a CPAP, which is the continuous positive air pressure, and that's something that you would have to wear throughout the night. The problem is compliance. It is not very comfortable. It is a lot of air that's being forced down your throat, and frankly, most people give up on it. But there are some patients that can tolerate it, and if so, it's still a very good choice. But because most of sleep apnea is obstructive sleep apnea, where the throat collapses basically and is tightening up, there's a way we can create a dental appliance that can hold their jaw in position slightly forward so that their airway does not basically collapse and allows the air to continuously flow of your own breathing.
Does that work in every condition, every sleep apneic pattern?
Of course not. It's just that most common forms are obstructive sleep apnea. I would say at least 85%. So that will work at least in 85% of the patients in my practice.
So somebody who has an obstructive pattern opposed to a central pattern.
Right.
You're saying that across the board that this will work for them?
For obstructive sleep apnea, it will definitely improve their AHI scores, which is the measurement of how severe their sleep apnea is. And I've seen numbers come down on every single one. Now, whether we can get them, if they have extremely severe sleep apnea, sometimes the only choice is to wear the CPAP or a combination of CPAP with the oral appliance. That sometimes is also necessary.
Now, I know I put you on the spot, Mike, but I already know the answer to that question simply because it works. And
right.
When you get an obstructive pattern, it's purely an obstructive pattern. Bringing that jaw forward just enough opens up that pharyngeal palate, and now you've got an airway that's actually going to function properly. You know, you talked a little bit before about people who are heavier, particularly around the abdomen. You know, their waist now begins to supersede their chest size.
Right.
That's when they're sleeping, they're on their back and so forth, that is huge, and that goes to the diaphragm. That goes to the area where the diaphragmatic pump is not working the way it's supposed to, and it can be quite severe. So the patients that we've sent to you over a period of time, if you know, that have sleep apneic conditions, and we put an appliance in place, respond far better and much more effectively. And then combined with the work that we do, particularly when we pay attention to the cranial plates and the upper cervical spine, now you've got something that restoration, they're sleeping better, their brain comes back, things happen, and you know, and that's what I wanted to hear you say anyway. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let's go to the phones. Keith, thank you for holding. How can we help you?
Hello. I have sleep apnea, and it's mostly caused by postnasal drainage. I have terrible allergies. It seems like my sinuses are constantly running. So when I go to sleep, as long as I sleep on my side, I'm fine. But if I roll over on my back, then everything gets blocked up, and I wake up basically kind of suffocating. And I'm just wondering if there's what type of direction would you point me in to try to resolve that?
Well, it sounds like to me that you've kind of solved it on your own by sleeping on your side. Now, if that's something that you could live with for the rest of your life and only sleep on your side, that may work. You still probably will need to be tested to make sure that that's working for you. But if you want to have, a better quality of life where you can sleep however you want to sleep, then you probably will benefit from some form of oral appliance that will put you in the ideal neuromuscular position
okay.
That will keep your airway open. And also the fact that you have this nasal allergy or drainage, that's something you definitely should have fixed or checked into, because whatever that cause is, you know, if you get rid of that, maybe you will not have sleep apnea, so you could be tested for it after you get rid of your the cause.
Keith, let me jump in here a little bit. I've never seen an allergy pattern that can't be modified as long as the patient's willing to go through the process of restoration, meaning getting the body back to where it was meant to be in a functional level. Dr. Mike is talking about appliances that work and do a really good job, and it's going to help you do that. But if you want to get rid of the triggering mechanism, then remember that allergens come from autoimmune reactions within the body. 85% of your immune system is in your intestinal tract, and you got to fix the gut, the neurology that's associated with it, the energetics that are associated with that. And then, you know, if you're doing both initially, then over a period of time, your body's health begins to restore. You have the ability to be able to sleep. That, by the way, once you get the breathing restored, is also going to help the autoimmune reactions. So the short answer is yes. There's a lot more that you can get done.
So it creates a vicious cycle, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I've recently started to think it's not – I've always had allergies to trees and flowers, but now I'm starting to think it might
I might have food allergies too. So.
You know, you can test yourself. You can do anything for about 4 weeks. And do the most common stuff. Take away the things that the majority of people are allergic to. Take away any kind of grain out of your diet. You know, whether it's gluten-free or not, just stop eating grains. Then take away any dairy product. And remember, dairy is not eggs. Dairy is just what comes from the udder of an animal, whether it's a goat or a cow or a sheep and so forth. And stop that completely. Stay away from corn. Stay away from soy. Those are common allergens. So when you do that, and the other thing that you want to stay away from is oranges and orange juice because they're mucus formers. So do that for 30 days. You know, eat tons of vegetables and proteins, and you can have things like wild rice and a little hard-cut, brown rice. You can have sweet potato, you know, nuts and seeds and things like that, and, you know, eat what you want from there, but do the other and drink lots of water and see if it doesn't begin to help the allergy patterns. If it does, Keith, call me and we're going to do something for you. Appreciate.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Appreciate your phone call. You know, anybody can do anything for 30 days. You know, sure. It's not for the rest of their life, but to prove to yourself that it's either a problem or not a problem, you try something like that and all of a sudden, oh my God, I'm getting better. And then, you know, so the end of the day is that we've got to stop that sleep apnea condition. So they come to you, they get fitted for an appliance and, you know, they do it the right way. And now over a period of time, they got a new life back. They have a new life. And that's what we want for our patients. 888-630-9625 in studio. My guest, Dr. Michael Chung, you know him because he's been here before and he's brilliant when it comes to temporomandibular joint dysfunction, but also because they're all tied in, we're talking about sleep apneic conditions. William, how can I help you, sir? Thank you for calling.
Hello. I've got a dental appliance and I've had it for a couple of years. I think it works pretty well. I just had a follow-up sleep study a couple of days ago, so we'll find out for sure. I wanted to ask you both, how long do you expect the dental appliance to last?
Well, dental appliances nowadays are very sturdy. I mean, if they're made properly to the correct measurements and it's not affecting and straining the muscles of your mastication, then they can last a very long time. I mean, there's no reason why it couldn't last 10, 20, 30 years. It's that when it's not in the correct neuromuscular position, you'll tend to clench or grind or do all these things that puts a lot of stress on the appliance. And that's when the problem occurs where they may break or the hooks and things like that. There are so many different appliances out there. But main thing is that, you know, they're made not arbitrarily like most places where they just kind of hold your jaw forward. We really need to find using computer instrumentation to figure out where your muscles are at the ideal relaxed length, where your joints are in the proper position, where your airways open, not just having it forward. Because for some patients, if you bring them too far forward, it can actually collapse their airway even more. So it's not a cookie-cutter fix for everyone. But in terms of how long it lasts, it has a lot to do with how well fitted you are to the appliance.
William, let me add a little something to that. You know, Dr. Mike and I have learned from each other over a period of many years, and I have tremendous respect for his knowledge in neuromuscular dentistry. Here's something, and think about this, and I want our listeners to think about this. When you go to your dentist, and, you know, they're all good-meaning guys, and they're educated in a certain way. So, you know, you're on your back in the chair, and they do the work that they need to do. And half the time you're numb because they're doing some kind of work that, you know, they don't want you to be sensitive to. Then at the end, they take that little carbon paper and they go tap down it, grind back and forth. And, you know, they say, how do you feel? Well, first of all, how do you know how you feel? You're numb. You can't feel it anyway. But more importantly, when you're on your back, that jaw goes backwards. It falls posterior. We're trying to take this jaw and bring it forward. So even if they get it forward based on that laying back, they're going to get in a neutral position, which is bad for you to begin with. So he's trying to bring it a little bit more forward. So when you go to your dentist, make them crazy like they made Dr. Mike crazy for a long time. Refuse to have that carbon paper put in your mouth when you're laying on your back. Sit or stand because that's neutral for you and that's where your jaw should be. But a lot of these dental appliances, what we've seen is that the patient has had them made when they're laying on their back and not in a sitting position. Subsequently, they're going to break down and deteriorate even faster. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay, good. Thank you, William. I appreciate your phone call. Thank you for calling. But that's, you know, Dr. Mike, when you and I first met, we went back and forth, and I said to you when you were, I said, no, I'm not laying down. You're going to do it in a sitting position. But it's, you want to put the patient in a physiological neutral position. And if you don't do that, you know, you're set up for disaster to begin with. It's not going to hold properly.
Absolutely right.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're coming up to a break. We have a couple more calls. I'm going to try to take one more before the show's over. In studio, Dr. Michael Chung. He is the proprietor, owner, expert at Soft Touch Dental in Oakton, Virginia. A guy that I have tremendous respect for. He really understands neuromuscular dentistry. The equilibrating of that jaw joint, that bite that you should have in a neutral position. We're coming up to a break, and we have to say thank you to the people who bring you Dr. Tom Rozelle live. It is the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and yes, we're in the studio. So we'll be right back. Don't go away. Stay tuned. We're listening live today.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. You listen to Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as you do every Sunday at 12 noon on the Eastern Seaboard, except when the Redskins are in town. And then you listen to us Saturday at 4 o'clock, but that's only during the season. So, you know, pay attention. You go to RozelleCare.com. That's RozelleCare. RozelleCare.com, and check out the website, and it'll tell you the dates that we're here. Fortunately, most of them, and some of the dates that we're not here. And then you know that the Redskins are playing at 1 o'clock, and so that's that. Anyway, sorry about that. So anyway, 888-630-9625, that's how you find us here. And if you have a question at any time and you'd like to talk to one of the doctors at the Rozelle Center for Healing, all you got to do is call 703-698-7117, or you can email it right to the website, rozellecare.com. In studio, Dr. Michael Chung, the head of something amazing. And I'm not just talking about his office at Soft Touch Dental, but a guy that really understands neuromuscular dentistry from a point of view that if it's not neutral, if it's not working the way it's supposed to, if your TMJ is not hitting, that you're going to have obstructions in all kinds of things. And one of the things that we're talking about is deadly for so many people. 50% of all men have sleep apnea conditions, and 25% of all women have sleep apnea conditions. And, you know, if you really want to get this done, you just need to call, you know, Soft Touch Dental and make an appointment, at least for a consultation with Dr. Mike, and see what is actually going on. And if it is, you know, allergic reactions and so forth, or if it's other types of neurological disorders, you know, we'll give you our opinion and make that happen. But listen, do it the right way. Find out. Don't just get an appliance shoved in your mouth, you know, that is not being done properly, because you're going to, as our one caller, you're going to get broken. There's other things that are going to happen. It's not okay. Let's go to the phones. Chris.
Hi. Hey. I have a question for you about the work of Mike Mew and how it relates to what you're talking about. He's a British dentist that basically his contention is that the modern diet and bad posture patterns have caused people's tongue to not rest against the palate as it's supposed to anatomically.
Correct.
To be a muscular antagonist to the masseter.
Right.
I think the part specifically that I was going to ask you about was how the tongue resting against the palate, he contends is supposed to move your maxilla forward when you're developing, and the
yes.
fact that that pressure is not there to bring that forward causes recession, and also recession of the lower jaw, which leads to a lot of these breathing obstructions, as well as malocclusion by not having the room for teeth to come in.
Yes, Chris, that's a very great observation, and I'm very familiar with Dr. Mew. He basically has figured out that in our modern society that most people have their mid-face, basically mid-face deficiency. Most people are retruded probably a good 3 to 7 millimeters or so, and some patients even more. And a lot of that is happening because of allergens in our modern society, whether it be dairy when you were a child to all the grains and things that Dr. Rozelle talked about earlier, whatever the allergen may be, is causing these children to not be able to breathe through their nose properly with their mouth closed and their tongue on the palate of their mouth. And if you start breathing through your mouth, not only will you not get any airway stimulation, but the tongue is basically in the lower jaw area, and there's no stimulation of the upper palate at all. And your palate will start to get steeper and narrower. And because your teeth have to occlude to be able to chew and eat, now your lower jaw is also being restricted, and that will cause basically a recession of all your parts, including your throat, and that will close down the airway. So that basically is what Dr. Mu found, and what he does is do a lot of orthodontics to expand and grow the upper arch,
Chris,
to the proper...
Unfortunately, we're coming up to the end of the program. I'm sorry. We have a shorter time today than we normally have. I apologize, Dr. Mike. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio. Dr. Michael Chung. We'll see you next week. Bye.